Lord, I pray that your spirit would strengthen us today and freshen us up, that you would pour out upon us the spirit of Jesus, that we would be formed into his likeness, that we would learn to walk in his ways, walk in the natural world, a world where evil can be so overwhelming. Structures can seem so large, we can feel so small, so powerless, so disempowered. But we know your spirit is with us. We know you do not fall the weapons of the world. So we pray for your spirit to fall upon us afresh this day, baptize us, immerse us in that character of the Lord whom we follow. Amen. All right. So you know what the sermon's going to be about, don't you? All righty. Well, City Well's famous or even infamous for tackling some of the big questions, right? And many of us want to tackle the big questions anyway. We worry about things like race, class, gender, the environment, and we're right to worry about them. And these issues come at us 1,000 miles per hour every day, all day, right? Pouring into us in a way that no other generation has actually had to cope with, to the point that I worry a little bit that our whole imagination is shaped by a narrative of crisis and a narrative of big issues that kind of overwhelm us. It's very easy to feel troubled and overwhelmed by this. I have felt troubled and overwhelmed by this. That won't come as news to most of you. So the Lord has been comforting me over the last few months in particular with Psalm 37, which we read out, particularly the first 11 verses, which I'm trying to learn off by heart, and I have to say it's not going very well. So I would recite it for you, except I probably would mess it up. However, we read it out. I love this psalm. Do not fret, do not be angry, do not rage, do not give in to wrath. Trust in the Lord, the psalmist says time and time again. Dwell in the land, do good. Dwell in the land. The meek will inherit the land. Still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Okay? And I'm reading this and going, well, great. But this psalm was written for a bunch of people who were peasants. And when they say dwell, right? Digging stuff. What does that have to do with me? How does dwelling in the land and doing good comfort me in a time where this media is flooding in and smashing us from every side? So, I did what I always do, and I prayed, and then I read the Huffington Post, where I get most of my good ideas from, because some sucker has written up their latest research there for free and spread it all over the globe. So, I found a really interesting article this week. Which I thought would be kind of fun. So I looked it up, looked up the article. It was reporting on a recently released set of findings by a bunch of sociologists. And they'd done something very cunning. They'd set up kind of a fake experiment in a workplace onto the headquarters of Coca-Cola in Madrid and set up three groups of people, givers, receivers, of a fake management scheme. What they had done was they had, am I cutting in and out a bit here? Yeah, are you cutting all right? Are we all right? Good. Yeah, okay, great. What they had done was they had taken the receivers unbeknownst to them and given lists of receiver names to a list of givers. The givers knew who they were, and they instructed the givers to do five acts of kindness to the receivers week. And then they gave them another week, and they so basically the receivers, without knowing what was happening, were getting these little acts of kindness. Now this is a big deal. An email, oh, you did a great job on such and such, or a beverage for it all, just getting it from the local coffee store. I don't know. Can I do? It's not a big deal. You could knock out acts of kindness in about 10 minutes. And then what they did was they measured the happiness, the connectedness, the
sense of autonomy of everybody in the Coca-Cola headquarters in Madrid over the month. They tracked them very closely, and what happened? Well, the control group, who were nothing, their happiness went like this. Nothing happened. The receiver's happiness went like this. Vroom. And what happened to the givers? Vroom. All right, so the givers got even happier than the receivers. The receivers got really, really happy. And the other thing that was interesting was the receivers, without even knowing they were doing it, started doing acts of kindness to other people. And their acts of kindness went up by 278% because they were getting these little acts of kindness from the givers. What they found out, in other words, in sociologists speak, was kindness is contagious. Okay? It's contagious. There are two other things that help in a workplace. I'm just going to sow these little seeds. Optimism helps people's happiness, and thankfulness helps people's happiness. I'm focused on kindness. All right. Now, Rachel and I have recently been to just how helpful and uplifting and positive it is to receive acts of kindness. Rachel's up back. She's had hip surgery, which I wouldn't recommend. If you can avoid it. I'm at home taking care of her. After 33 years of marriage, I finally worked out what Rachel does with her life. It's really been awful. It's a struggle. Okay, so I'm doing it all. Right? I'm running around. I'm getting kind of stressed. I thought I'd be able to cope and cook and do all that. I mean, it's not like there are kids in the house or anything, but I couldn't, so I had to go, Amy, I really need meal. Need a meal tray. So CityWell, God bless you. Up to the place. Stepped up to the and started bringing us food. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so and there's actually a bag of Tupperware containers. Some of you at the back picked up after the service. All right, so we experienced this meal train, which was like a significant act of kindness. And, you know, it really was incredibly helpful. It really was. It was terrible, and it made a difference. So what has all this got to do with the church? Am I just pulling sociology out of HuffPost and hoping it'll work? No. Paul knew about this stuff. He knew about this stuff, and that's why I'm just going to read out to you a little bit of Romans here. Romans chapter 12. Romans is a very important letter. Every letter that Paul wrote is important, by the way, but especially important. Writing to a nation that does not know him is setting things out dramatically. So this is the church. Listen to this carefully. I'm starting in verse 3 here. For by the grace or gift that has been given to me, I say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Think of yourself in a kind of a sober way, in accordance with the understanding that God has given to each one of you. He's distributed stuff to you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members don't all have the same function. In Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Now, what are these gifts that have been given out according to the grace given to each one of us? If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your understanding, your faith. Prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encouraging, give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. How many of the functions are bound up with practical acts of kindness to the rest of the community? How many? How many leaders did I just read out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 4 of them are basically focused on helping one another out in a very practical way. All of our modeling how Christians should relate to one another is meant to be rooted or at least saturated or at least participating in this practical showing of kindness to one another. In other words, you don't have to read the Huffington Post. You can just read Romans 12. Okay, so here we go. What's my suggestion? I've got a very practical suggestion for us today at CityWell. Very practical. ask you to confront. Well, I am eventually, but I'm not going to do it right now. Here's my suggestion. You know that bumper sticker? Practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. I always thought that was like a Walt Whitman poem, but it wasn't. No, it was written by a lady called Ann Herbert on a placemat in South Salito, California in 1982. Who knew? Yeah. And she wrote it because she just realized random acts of violence and senseless of cruelty. She went, well, that sucks. Let's flip that around. Practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. And we're thinking, and 10 years later, she wrote a book called Random Acts of Kindness, in which she began to document the massive impact that unsolicited kindness has on and I want us to have a bumper sticker on the church, but I don't want it to be random acts of kindness. I don't want senseless acts of beauty. I want deliberate acts of kindness, intentional acts of beauty. Here's my bumper sticker. It's not quite as good, but it's Christian, okay? Practice deliberate small acts of kindness. Now, how hard can that be? Yeah? And constant acts of beauty. And in accordance with the sociologists studying the Coca-Cola executives, 5 times a day. But you can knock it out in 10 minutes. Don't be overwhelmed, okay? A few spouse, friends, work people, and think, I'm going to do 5 acts of kindness. How hard could that be? I've been trying really hard with Rachel. I have to say, it's not going well. I won't go. It's just, yeah, okay. We had a bit of a fight yesterday. So now I have to practice about 50 acts of this. Got to get my kindness balance up there, bro. Okay, I'm working on it, right? That I don't know if that counts as an act of kindness or something. I have to counterbalance later. All right, what are the difficulties to practicing random acts of kindness or intentional acts of kindness? I think there are 3 obstacles doing this. Close. The first is, I think the U.S. is really great on optimism. Possibly a little too great sometimes. This will work? Yeah. Okay. I think the U.S. is really great on thankfulness. So I'm not so sure it's great on kind, not kind nation. I recently joined you. I could use the we there. I am one of you. But I am also still a New Zealander. New Zealanders are really terrible at optimism, really awful on thankfulness. You look at a glass there, and New Zealand will look at it and say, man, that's half empty. That sucks. That's empty. If it's 90% full, they'll look at it and say, man, 10% is missing. The important percent. I hate it. Why did you ask? All right. Really negative people. They're down on things. They're pessimistic. We got it from the English, I believe. Pessimistic. It's going to rain today. It's definitely going to rain, man. That sucks. Life sucks. All right. But they're kind. New Zealand has a culture of kindness. I think it's function of scale. We're special. It's just we're a small country, 4 million of us. Somebody who knows word gets around. Here in the States, you know, 440 million people, blessed by anonymity, it's harder to be kind. It's much more of a challenge to be kind. But let me challenge you counterculturally and say Christians really don't have any options here. God is kind. God is generous. Jesus was kind. Have a little confession to make at this moment. I screwed up the gospel reading and gave you the wrong gospel, Orlando. That's why it didn't make any sense in terms of the sermon. So I'm going to have to read it out again. I'm really sorry about this. That's on me. I wrote Luke instead of Matthew. When Jesus, happens a lot, my line of work. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, you know, this is a remote place, Jesus. It's getting late. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Okay, what are you doing? No, I'm adding that in, actually. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You know what happened next? We've only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. What I wanted out of this text was Jesus is kind. He's seeing people dealing with needs, gesturing to the incredible nice things, but basically he is acting kindly. Now this is God. This is what God wants us to be like, okay? So, countercultural or not, let's get down with added optimism and thankfulness. Second problem. What's the second problem that we face doing these intentional little acts of kindness? We're just too busy. Right? We're too programmed to be kind. To be kind, you need to have a little bit of space in your life, a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of intake. So busy filling up every corner of our life with good deeds, doing these programs, when that kind of opportunity comes along to stop and slow down, make a gesture, we can't roll past it. We're tired, we're busy, we're preoccupied. Let's clear out a wee bit of space so that God can fill those spaces with random acts of intentional kindness. Yeah? Shall we think about that? A little bit of extra space, a little bit of flexibility for kindness. Third problem, this is my major problem. I have no idea what an act of kindness looks like because I'm kind of not very practical, right? So, what do we do? We all know, most of you would know that book on five, on sort of the 5 love languages, right? Yeah, a lot of people work with that. Do you remember what languages are? Love? Tell me. Don't leave me in suspense. Words? Quality time. Yeah. Acts of service. Touch. Yes. I'm going to go everybody. Okay. I'm always going to. Gifts. And? Words of affirmation. How many of those are kindness? Well, yeah, okay, fine. They are, but I think in terms of just, you know, people on the street at work, don't, you know, some of them are going to work better than others. Okay? Step to your coworker and say, I really want to spend quality time with you, okay? Scary, okay? Don't rush up and say, I've been longing to touch you. Yeah, don't do that, okay? What I say is words of origin, acts of service, and gifts, those are the things that they were tracking in the Coca-Cola study. Little words of affirmation. All right. So the 3 obstacles, I don't think, are very powerful. Okay, it's countercultural, but we follow a generous and a kind God. Okay, we're busy, but hey, we're not that busy. Do we know what an act of kindness is? Yeah, we do. We can work it out, and there are kindness maestros in our midst. There are people who are gifted in this way. People are really, really good at it. Rachel is fantastic at this. She just looks at this. They need this. I think it's a gift. Okay? I have a ton of kindness are being done all around us. And if we're not very good at it, I suggest we look at people that are good at it and copy them. Brothers and sisters, there's great joy in kindness. It blesses the receivers and it blesses the givers. When we bless other people, they're blessed, we're blessed, and they go on to bless other people. So this is not a win or even a win-win. This is a win-win-win if Christians can act kindly. And may I just venture to suggest as we go on to tackle the issues, if we tackle issues kindly, we won't tackling them at all. We must be trained in kindness, practiced in kindness, so it's second nature. And then our communities will flourish, our families will flourish, our friendships will flourish if we do this like it's second nature. And it's such a practical and such a small thing. I think we can step up here. Yeah? All right. Vaguely excited. Okay? Some nods, yeah? That's the challenge. Let us pray. Lord, draw us deeper into kindness. deeper into your kindness. You're a kind God. You came and you act kindly. You walked amongst us in very practical, generous, and giving ways. These things are such a blessing when we receive them. They bless others when we give them away. Lord, show us how we can do small things. May we be a kind people. We bring kindness to a world that needs it. In its name, Amen.